98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Giveathon on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567. Boy, we were so encouraged by the response we got in the first hour of the show. Just asking five of our great listeners to call that number, 602-933-4567. And say, I want to support Phoenix Children's Hospital. I want to become a champion of hope. I want to get involved with one of the best children's hospitals in the world. And we're lucky enough to have it right here in our backyard. We're also lucky enough to have great partners and great businesses in our community. And joining us right now to kind of help us out with Phoenix Children's Hospital, it's a pleasure to have the president, chief executive officer of the Arizona Coyotes, Javier Gutierrez, who joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show to talk a little Phoenix Children's Hospital. Javier, thank you for coming on. Thank you for your time. You know we appreciate it very much.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. And I really want to start by thanking you for doing this incredible telethon. You are right. Phoenix Children's Hospital is such a true gem for the Valley. And so excited to be part of what you guys are doing. And always great to talk to you guys.
Oh, good to have you on, my friend Javier. It's just, yeah, this is near and dear to our heart. We've been doing this for many, many, many years. I mean, last year we raised, you know, $1.9 million. It is the largest radiothon fundraiser for a children's hospital in the entire country. So a lot of pride and effort goes into it. And I know the organization, the Coyotes, is very good at giving back to the community. So tell us a little bit about why you're involved again this year.
Well, listen, as you know, Gamble, that at the end of the day, what we see is this incredible opportunity to leverage the power of sports to make a difference in our community and in the lives of others. And we feel truly blessed to be here and to be supportive. We've actually been supportive of the Phoenix Children's Hospital for the last 25 years. I think, as you know, we had our telethon last year, and our players really came through, and we ended up raising $150,000 ourselves through our telethon. And let me also start by saying that we want to be supportive of what you're doing. And so on behalf of the Arizona Coyotes, I wanted to donate $5,000 to your telethon and to benefit Phoenix Children's Hospital and just the incredible work that they do. And so very, very honored to be able to make that contribution to you guys.
Javier, we can't tell you how appreciative we are of that. Everybody here, both of our radio stations, to be able to hear from businesses in the community like the Arizona Coyotes who have stepped up and made contributions like that. Man, I know for you that service, that it's part of your mission statement, that's part of what you're about there, and to be able to do that, really, it's very touching. We appreciate it.
No, thank you, and I really cannot thank you guys enough for doing this. It is so important for us to, you know, we're in these great opportunities, right, where we get to talk about the passion and the emotion and the incredible just, you know, a spectacle that is sports. But really, we're in the memory-making business. We're allowed to make memories with our fans in waiting, and to really make a difference in their lives. And what you're doing is just very special, and it really aligns with what we are doing and what we want to stand for. And when Alex Morello bought this team and approached me about this opportunity, that's what he said. You know, yeah. Sports has this unique voice, and we want to. That's what we want to stand for.
$150,000 just on your own as an organization, and then an additional $5,000 donation to our cause here with the Giveathon. Javier, we cannot thank you and the Coyotes enough. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for what you bring to the community. We appreciate it very, very much. Thanks for coming on for a few.
No, thanks so much, and keep it going. And congratulations again on what you guys are doing.
Thank you, Javier.
Javier Gutierrez, President, Chief Executive Officer of the Arizona Coyotes, with a very generous $5,000 donation.
It all counts. Thanks so much.
Right, we really do appreciate it. And here's the reason why we do it. It's stories like Chase's story. And at the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic, a 15-year-old simple cough was a sign of something much, much worse than that. He ended up being admitted to Phoenix Children's Center for cancer and blood disorders and found himself in a battle that absolutely no child, no teenager should have to face. This is Chase's story.
I'm Pamela Gorder.
I'm Chase Gorder, and this is my story. At the Phoenix Open, I started getting symptoms, coughing a lot. That went on for about a month. We went into PCH and stayed there overnight, and then the next day found out that it was Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Well, the road rolls out like a welcome mat to a better place than the one we're at.
I started chemo. How long was it, Mom?
It lasted basically 3 months.
And then I got to start radiation. That lasted about a month, 5 days a week, just Monday through Friday.
It was a whirlwind. It was a very scary time.
My mom, I know she was very scared, and my dad. Probably harder for them than it was for me, but it was definitely a very scary experience for all of us.
To take my little boy into the hospital, watching him handle everything and kind of in the darkest time of his life, come out the other side, a mature young man, it's amazing to me.
When I went in for the first blood draw, I was like shaking and couldn't stop moving, and I was like losing my mind. And now a blood draw is the easiest thing I could get after having so many IVs put in and shots. A couple months later, we went in for scans to make it official, and they were all clear. And we celebrated that. I came out okay.
I'm always going to call him a kid, but he's a totally different kid now. He's so mature, just amazes me every day.
When I'm out on the golf course, I don't worry about little things as much or get as upset with them because I know there's a lot worse places that I could be. It just helps me kind of live better.
Someday we'll look back and smile and know it was worth every mile.
I just felt immediately like we were in the best hands with Phoenix Children's Hospital. They had so much confidence and put that confidence, I think, in us that they knew what the plan was. They knew how to get him healthy, and that's what we did.
I just remember how many doctors were huddled around me, just doing everything they could.
It was actually my birthday, and the Child Life team brought down a big happy birthday sign and goodies and presents for me. So they take care of the whole family.
It's tough to have good memories at a place where you went through so much, but you can still have good memories. They had video games in there that I played with my brother. They would bring me anything I needed. They had movies playing. A lot of ways to distract yourself from what you're going through, and just a lot of smiling faces.
I went through 15 years of my son's life never thinking that I was going to need Phoenix Children's Hospital. But when we needed Phoenix Children's Hospital, they were there for us. After this experience, I drive by the building all the time, and it brings a smile to my face because they took such great care of my baby.
Yeah, we drive by the building every day on our way into work as it's right along the 51, which is where our studios are. And every time I drive by it, I think about all of the great stories, just like Chase's, in that building. You know, people who go there and they're scared and they need comfort, they need help, they need to know that someone's gonna take care of them, and how many kids and how many parents walk out of that building and they are taken care of, they are healed. And I love hearing stories like Chase's. It's great.
Sure. You know, and a couple of things, just when, you know, we talked about the video games, and they've got things to distract you. And you know, we always say when you look at the rooms and you see what it's like, man, it doesn't feel like a hospital.
No, they've done such a good job to make it not feel like a hospital.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, kid wants to get up and play. Kids want to go play video games. They want to go watch movies. It's like there are things to do that don't make you feel like you're stuck in a hospital.
Absolutely, which is those things, they take money, which is why we are not only asking you to call the Desert Financial Phone Bank at 602-933-4567. We're in a match. Walmart right now. Walmart is matching your donations dollar for dollar up to $15,000. Walmart match when you call 602-933-4567. It worked so well in the first hour. Let's do it again. Do we have five Burns and Gambo listeners?
We do.
Who are willing?
I know we do.
Well, I know we have five listeners. Do we have five willing? I hope we do. Do we have five willing to call up and be a champion of hope?
I hope so. But that's what we're going to ask you to do. Become a champion of hope. I had a guy just send a message to me just a little while ago. Say, hey, I got a $20 car wash gift certificate, and I just becoming a champion of hope. I got a $20 car wash gift certificate. And listen, there are benefits for you if you become a champion of hope. And we do want five people right now to become a champion of hope. That's $20 per month. and we will give you your choice of a Papa John's $20 online voucher or a Superstar Car Wash $20 gift card and a free kids pass to the Wildlife World Zoo. So a little bit of an incentive for you to become a champion of hope.
602-933-4567. 602-933-4567. Chuck in Tucson, Justin in Queen Creek, Brian in Phoenix, Patty in Chandler have all called up and decided to become champions of hope. And, man, we appreciate that as well, because when you become a champion of hope, we fire up the Train Teddy Bear Express, and a volunteer at the hospital takes a teddy bear in your name upstairs to one of those kids who's at that hospital right now. So please call us, 602-933-4567, so we can put another teddy bear on the Train Teddy Bear Express and take it upstairs to a child right now at the hospital. While you're calling up, I'll tell you what's coming up next with Kenyon Drake now in Las Vegas, the Cardinals' backfield. Going to have a new look this season, but Cliff Kingsbury thinks his revamped running back room can be special, and you'll hear why next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Wet, rainy Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for spending it with us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Thanks for letting us keep you company on this wet and rainy Wednesday
here
afternoon.
Here in Seattle.
It's Phoenix. Doesn't look like
Phoenix. It hasn't been 115 yet this month,
no,
I think.
It's 78 degrees outside right now, which
God.
Is
Let's
insanity.
Go do the show outside.
We've got to keep the equipment dry, though. That might make it kind of tough.
All that electricity might attract lightning as well.
Yeah, it's really not conducive.
The odds of being hit by lightning or what?
I'm sorry?
What are the odds of being hit by lightning? Come on.
Did you see that truck? I think it was in the valley over the last few days. Some truck got hit with lightning.
No.
And it was just, I mean, it looked like it was from Mad Max. Like it was just
it fried. Just absolutely. Yeah. Like Thor himself,
took the hammer in the studio.
I'm just saying it's, I think there's liability issues and things like that. The Arizona Cardinals were back getting ready for their upcoming preseason game number 2. Training camp continuing, the preseason continuing, and a not completely revamped running back room. But let's be honest, the last couple of years, Kenyon Drake was the main guy in that running back room. And now it's got a different look. It's Chase Edmonds' turn, and then they go out and they get James Conner. And, of course, everyone's assuming that Kyler Murray will be more of the runner that he was in the first half of the season as opposed to the second half when he was banged up. Cliff Kingsbury today really liking what the running backs and Kyler can do for this offense right now.
We like that you have two guys that can run it, catch it, do different things. Particularly, you add in a quarterback that can run. I mean, there's endless possibilities. You get those three guys in the backfield, and so we got to do a good job of building different packages and utilizing all three of those guys on the field at one time.
There's the quickness of Chase. There's the brutality of Connor. And then there's the shiftiness with James Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Kyler, you don't know. I mean, you just, as a defense, you never know when he's going to run. I'm sure the Cardinals want to limit those runs. They want to make him a little bit more like Russell Wilson, targeted runs designed to keep defenses honest, but, also open up some big holes and break some big runs and, keep him out of danger by sliding or getting out of bounds. But James Conner, I mean, I remember when we had him on, he can catch the ball out of the backfield too,
yeah.
which is actually
something Cliff spoke about today, how Conner is a better pass catcher than I thought he was going to be based off of what I saw in film.
Better than I expected. I mean, I remember watching the film, he made catches, but he makes some big time catches, and his route running ability in space is really good. He's more quick twitch than I anticipated. And so we really feel like we have two guys that can kind of do it all out of the backfield.
I think he had 50 something catches 1 year with the Steelers. So I think he has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. That could be a weapon for them. Chase, I've always liked Chase. Can he handle, and listen, this isn't the old days. You're not handing a ball to a running back 25 times a game. I mean, there isn't Earl Campbell out there. It's a few guys in the league that are built that way, but most of them are not. So I think that I feel pretty good about the combination that they have and getting enough carries for both of those guys and mixing in some Kyler.
James
too.
Conner had 55 receptions in 2018. That's probably the year you were thinking of.
55 in 2018.
55 in 2018.
Yeah, so you think of them, right? When they got him, it was all about third and one, fourth and one, third and two, short yardage situations. James Conner, man, you could throw the ball out of the backfield to him. Let him go knock over some cornerback or safety that's coming up. He'll do that. You can throw the ball to him.
Yeah, as far as Chase Edmonds, and we all like Chase Edmonds. Chase Edmonds is going to really kind of blossom into a little bit of a fan favorite if he's not already there. Put on a little weight, good weight, and Cliff Kingsbury has noticed.
It does. I mean, he's a guy who works his tail off each and every day, and both those guys do. James as well, and they're pushing each other. I mean, they don't say a word. They just go to work, and He worked really hard this offseason. We asked him to put on a little bit more to try and be the guy, and he's answered the bell so far.
I'll be curious to see. I'm looking at last year's kind of schedule and last year's numbers, and we all know the reason for this, but the Arizona Cardinals only went over 138 yards rushing as a team once in the second half of the season. A lot of that had to
over
do
with 138 yards as a team.
Okay. As a team. Okay. One time, they only went over that number one time in the last seven games of the season. Kyler got hurt. It changed the very dynamic of what they were trying to do. Kenyon Drake was just not able to replicate the same magic he had in that half season.
They were in so many close games. You know, if you could get a lead, if you could have a nice lead, then you're going to run the ball a lot more, and those numbers are going to come up. So it's very, if you can get up by two scores, you can get up by three scores, and then you're going to, because running the ball, using the clock to your advantage, moving the chains, you're not going to want to put it in the air. The Cardinals, I think every loss they had was within 11 points last year.
Yeah.
There were not a lot of blowout games, and it was a bunch of losses that they had that were within one score. So, you know, in those games, you know, it is a mixture of passing and running. You get to the point where you start getting leads on teams. If this offense starts burying guys, and I was looking at a note from Lewis Riddick, ESPN said, what I saw from A.J. Green at Cardinals practice today looked like the 2015 version. He was on fire. Arizona has the potential to have a top five wide receiver group. That's from Lewis Riddick today.
He tweeted that out today about 45 minutes ago.
I just saw that, and I'm like, okay, that's impressive, because A.J. Green, that might be a big-time signing for the Arizona Cardinals at a relatively low price. So if you could get ahead of these teams, you've got that ability to just run the football down people's throats.
Yeah.
And those numbers, those rushing numbers, are going to go way, way up if you're dedicating a lot of your fourth quarter to running the football because you're ahead.
Last year, they seemed so reliant on Kyler Murray as part of their running game. And they were one of the best rushing teams in the NFL. But so much of that was centered around Kyler. The total yards were there for Kenyon Drake, but the yards per carry weren't very good at all. And I'm looking at, you know, we all know they started 6-3 after they beat the Buffalo Bills. Man, they had 57 yards rushing against Seattle, 92 against the Rams, 103 against the Eagles, 48 against the Rams. If they can figure out a way to run the ball and it's not all Kyler Murray all the time, and it's, you know, it's Chase and it's Connor. Maybe it's a little, you know, Benjamin too as well. Maybe it's Rondell Moore if they're going to use him in a more varied way. It gives them options. It gives them something different other than just being so reliant on Kyler Murray. But yeah, I did see that Lewis Riddick tweet too. I was going to bring that up at some point.
And the other thing is the penalty yards. They had 110 penalty yards against Seattle. And you're constantly having penalties on first and second down and putting yourself in second and 15, second and 20. You're more likely to throw the football to try to gain yards than you are to run the football.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Arizona Diamondbacks say they don't want the number one pick in the baseball draft. Should they? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. Welcome back to the Burns and Gambo show. Something interesting happened last night at Chase Field. The Diamondbacks beat the Phillies by a score of 3-2. And then halfway across the country, the Baltimore Orioles lost their 13th straight game.
Man.
And in that moment, the Arizona Diamondbacks are no longer the worst team in baseball. They no longer have the worst record in baseball. It's percentage points. I mean, it's 3/1,000th of a percentage point separating them. But if you look at the ESPN MLB standings and you organize them by overall, not by division, not by league. The Baltimore Orioles are at the bottom. The Arizona Diamondbacks aren't anymore. In their last 26 games, the Diamondbacks are 13-13.
Yeah, they're playing a lot better. And this is the one thing that if you don't like Torey Lovello, I understand. There are things about Torey that irk me on a regular basis, especially with the starting pitchers and taking guys out when I think they should be left in the ball games and go into a bullpen that's been atrocious. But they never stopped playing for him. These guys never stopped playing. They played hard. They just weren't talented enough. And for a long time, they were without Madison Bumgarner, and they were without Taylor Widener, and they were without Zach Gallen. They've been without a lot of key pitchers. Well, now they're getting these guys back. So you can run out on Bumgarner every fifth day. Taylor Widener pitched good yesterday. I wish he would have went a little bit longer in the game, but he pitched well. You know, Merrill Kelly's out with COVID, but Merrill Kelly, when he has been really good. So, you know, I think that's the main reason why this team is not as bad as the record shows. They're not good, okay? They're not a good team, but they're not as bad because their starting pitching just been decimated by injuries.
Yeah.
But the top pick next year's draft is expected to be Elijah Green. He's an outfielder from IMG Academy in Florida. The Diamondbacks had the inside track on this kid up until today, okay? Up until last night. Now the Orioles have the inside track, and a lot of people are questioning whether the Diamondbacks, you know, should just continue to lose so they can end up with the top pick in the draft.
You asked Torey Lovello basically that question yesterday when he was on with us. Has there been any talk about trying for the number one pick? Here's Torey's answer.
Nobody's had that type of conversation with me. You know, I asked Amiel Sade, who is our GM, and he's also in charge of the amateur side. You know, I ask him questions about the players for next year's draft all the time. I do know the name Elijah Green, and he is a great talent. You're absolutely right. But it's never, ever my intention to finish is the worst team in baseball. That's not a goal I ever set out for. I want to run some people down, and that's perfectly clear. That's been my intent. That's been my message to these guys. And, yes, we do follow the standings. That's our job. We got to pay attention to what's going on around us. As heartbreaking as it is to look at it, we still have to pay attention to it and embrace where we are and say we've done this to ourselves. So we want to run some people down. That's our mindset. And wherever we finish in the draft order next year, it'll be an indication it's the year we've had. But like I said, we want to chase it down, and we want to get into the thick of the things, not be the first pick for next year's draft.
Then this morning, Mike Hazen, GM, was on with Doug and Wolf, and he was asked by Doug if he looks at the inverted standings every single day, basically the upside-down standings. And Mike said, I do, but because, you know, from waiver claims, I want to know whether we get the first claim or whether we have to wait for somebody else to pass on a guy before we get him. Mike Hazen knew what Doug was asking, and he later said, if you're asking about the number one pick overall next year, I don't want it.
As far as the long term, if your question was more about do I want to finish with the first pick, no, I don't, frankly. I do not. That is not something that, you know, wearing that around your neck for the entirety of the offseason. I think we've proven in the draft that we can find good players at 6. We've proven in the draft that we can find good players at 15. And frankly, we've proven that we can find good players in the 30s. So, yes, I understand what the first overall pick can mean in certain cases, but that's not something that I would like to have happen, no.
Okay, so there you have it. From what Torey Lovello said to Mike Hazen, is there is no consideration being given to, you know, play guys that would help you lose. They want to win baseball games, and they don't care if they end up with the second, the third pick. Now, listen, Elijah Green is expected to be the number one pick. We'll see what happens. But there's Dylan Lesko's a right-handed pitcher out of high school that could be one of those picks. There's a third baseman out of Louisiana State and a kid who played his freshman baseball at Arizona named Jacob Berry, who could be one of the top picks too. So you'll get a great player. You just may not get the top player. The way the Diamondbacks are playing and the way the Orioles are playing, I can almost guarantee you right now that the Diamondbacks are not going to end up with the number one overall pick. They're just not. They're playing to win baseball games, and the Orioles seem to be tanking.
Yeah, well, although I think we could have said the same thing about the Diamondbacks a month ago, right? I
mean, but before, they were without a lot of key pitchers that are now back.
Yeah, and they brought those guys back, and they're trying to win. Look, this has always been part of Mike Hazen's deal. This has always been part of Torey Lovello's deal. I remember when Mike Hazen got the gig, when he first got the job, there was an expectation around the industry that the Diamondbacks would try to tank, that they would try to lose games, that they would try to tear it down to the studs, as it were, and build it back up. That was never what Mike Hazen was about. That wasn't the case in 2015. That's not the case now. He's a guy who wants to try to rebuild it, knowing there are going to be some lean years, but he doesn't want to tear it down to the studs. He doesn't want it to be so bad that they're the worst team in baseball.
That's why Ketel Marte was not traded.
Right.
And Merrill Kelly was not traded. And Zach Allen, that they held on because they got to field the team next year.
Yeah, they have the field.
So they didn't trade some of those guys, especially Ketel Marte. They didn't trade him.
The Astros did it, and they reaped the benefits of it. The Cubs did it, and they reaped the benefits of it. But Mike Hazen has been crystal clear about this. He does not want to be like them. He doesn't want to routinely lose 111 games every single year in the name of getting a bunch of draft picks and rebuilding. I want the first pick in the draft. I see it as a reward for a season that's awful, but I can't. I want the first pick overall. I just don't want them to try to get the first pick overall. Can I have that?
Is
that
no.
I know I can't. No. It's not reasonable what I'm asking.
Do you watch a game wanting them to lose or wanting them to win?
I always want them to win.
Okay, then you don't care about the first overall pick.
Do you watch a game wanting them to lose?
No.
I
want the Diamondbacks to win.
Then you don't want the first pick.
I mean, I do want the first pick. Like you, I'd like to have it. I'd rather have it than not have it.
We're on the same page here.
It's hard to watch a game and want them to lose.
You're on exactly the same plot of land that I am right now.
It's odd because I remember wanting the Suns to lose to get the Andre. And it may be more about knowing the value of the number one overall pick in basketball and that guy's going to be playing for you 3 months after you draft you draft him.
Yeah.
Compared to baseball, I don't know a thing about these players.
About Elijah Green.
And I don't know. And it's going to be years before he'd be able to make the team anyway.
I mean, look.
Maybe that's why.
Several years ago, Bryce Harper was the clear, undisputed number one prospect. He was the superstar that everybody wanted. Bryce Harper's a very good player. All right. Has he been everything he was touted to be? No, he hasn't been. Baseball picks are hard to predict. And I would think if there was a clear cut number one guy, I'm telling you, this dude's the next Mike Trout. Guaranteed. This guy is everybody else. There's a country mile between him and everybody else available in this draft. Then I might root for them to lose. There's not. Elijah Green's not that guy. He's good. Everybody thinks he's really good, and everybody thinks he's probably the number one pick. But I have yet to read this, he can't miss. I have yet to hear he is absolutely going to dominate at baseball. It's guaranteed. You don't have any questions about it. And because of that, When I tuned in the Diamondbacks last night, I'm not rooting for them to lose that game. Just not. I can't do it. And you're right. It was different with the Suns. And honestly, I felt kind of guilty doing it with the Suns. I remember with the Suns thinking I felt kind of dirty it with the Suns. Like it's just this isn't right.
This is your love. This is your first love.
I shouldn't be rooting against them. And so maybe I've learned a lesson since those days. I've learned that rooting for your team to do poorly is just...
Cardinals to get the first overall pick with Kyler?
That year, it's hard to say I wasn't rooting for that by the end of the season.
Okay.
It's hard to say I wasn't rooting for that by the end of the year to want them to lose games.
Yeah.
Not in the middle, but by the end of the year, by that last month, yes, I wanted them to lose games. So I'm just not there with the Diamondbacks yet. I'm just not, because I think the baseball draft is, like you say, it's just different. When we come back, he's been the most talked about player in Cardinals training camp, and now the national media, look out, they're starting to jump on that Rondell Moore bandwagon, something fierce. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Becoming more and more convinced that Peter Schrager of the NFL Network and John Gambadoro might be the same person. Have you ever actually seen them in the same room at the same time? Of course you haven't.
Look anything like them.
There's a reason why you haven't seen them in the same room at the same time. They're the same person.
We do end up with a lot of the same thoughts somehow.
Yes, you do.
Yes, although he's always a little bit behind me, but we do end up with a lot of the same thoughts.
He's almighty. Well, he is, in fact, responsible for talking about an entire league of players where you just focus on one of 32. So we'll cut him a little bit of slack.
Okay.
How about that? All right. Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football today. He's unveiling his top 10 breakout players for 2021.
He
unveiled 7 through 10 yesterday. There are not a lot. Well, I'll let him explain who's number 5 on his list, and then you'll see the Gambo similarity.
Number 5 is this guy. I rarely put rookies on this list. Very rarely put rookies on this list. Very rarely take second-round rookies on this list. I like to see what they can do and then see if they can break out. I'm breaking that rule. Rondell Moore is going to be a sensation this year in Arizona.
Rondell Moore.
Oh, yeah.
That bandwagon just went national, baby.
I'm driving that bus.
Look out.
I got that Rondell Moore. I got to get that jersey, that Rondell Moore jersey.
Get a seat while you can.
Oh, jump on that bandwagon. This kid's going to be good. I believe it. This kid's going to be special.
Peter Schrager continued on Cliff and all the ways he can use Rondell Moore.
I don't know if you guys watched the Cowboys-Cardinals preseason game.
Go on.
Rondell Moore was used all over the place. Check out how they use him here. A little dipsy do from Colt McCoy out of the backfield running play. You see how Ayuk and Debo Samuel are starting to used in that offense? I'm telling you, Cliff Kingsbury has a whole playbook, and a lot of it is dedicated to finding ways to get 85 in the offense.
Apologize, by the way, for the annoying music in the background. There's absolutely nothing we can do about
that. So who's
that
covering him? You can't cover him with a linebacker.
Right.
You can't cover him with a safety. So your only thing is to have an extra cornerback on the field to cover him.
Which is going to free up somebody else to do something
else. Exactly. Just common sense, right?
Yeah.
A linebacker cannot cover Rondell Moore. A safety cannot cover Rondell Moore. You're going to have to put a corner. But you've already got corners out on A.J. Green and on DeAndre Hopkins. So now you can bring another corner on the field. I mean, it's going to open. This kid's just going to open. He's almost like a three-point shooter in basketball. He's going to help you spread the floor. He's going to knock down open threes and spread the floor. He's going to open things up for the pick and roll, the lobs to DeAndre Ayton. He's going to the drives to the basket because of how good he is at that one thing. You can't, you have to have a corner on him. And it's your only chance because a linebacker can, there's no way. If you see a linebacker matched up on him, you go to him every single time.
Sure.
And if you don't, that's a big mistake by Kyler Murray.
One more from Schrager with a comp that I had not heard, I don't think this comp yet, about who Rondell Moore reminds him of. And it's a very interesting one.
So you say, okay, you mentioned Debo, you mentioned Ayuk, we've seen Curtis Samuel be used. Who's your comparison? It's not those guys. The way I see them using him in that offense, which I know Kingsbury's air ride offense, is actually this guy. Wes Welker. Wes Welker, number 83 when he was in New England, everyone thinks was just an over-the-middle guy. He wasn't. Wes Welker has one of the fastest guys in the league when he was playing and was fully healthy with New England and was used in so many ways. Special teams, wide receiver, sometimes out of the backfield. And, of course, he and Randy Moss together were just a problem and something to be reckoned with. So then you look at DeAndre Hopkins on one side, A.J. Green on the other. How are you going to account for Rondell Moore, who might be the fastest out of all of them, and is going to be used out of the backfield, on jet sweeps, all these type of things? This offense could be electric. It will be electric if Rondell Moore does what they expect him to do.
I sent you a screenshot.
Wes Welker was small.
Well, so is Rondell Moore.
I know. I'm saying he was small like Rondell Moore. Yeah, he was small. He was he had to be 5'8 or 5'9. He was a little guy.
5'9, I think, when it was all said and done. I sent you a series of screenshots from people who were talking about Rondell Moore on Twitter yesterday, including our own Kevin Zimmerman, who was chiming in on it. And you know how Cliff's offense is kind of horizontal, not vertical, right? A lot of it is side to side. It was pointed out by a few people on social media yesterday that Cliff has never really had an ideal wide receiver to be able to run a side to side horizontal offense like. And I couldn't help, and Zimmerman brought this up from ArizonaSports.com, Zim did, that Fitz was really miscast in that role, right? I mean, as the slot guy in this offense, as somebody with the quicks to do something with the ball when you're running it horizontally like that, that really wasn't Fitz's jam. That's not really what he was good at, whereas Rondell Moore might be able to play that role a little more effectively.
Well, a lot more effectively. Two things. Fitz was never going to... He was not going to clear anybody, right? You're always going to have coverage on him. So whoever was covering Fitz was going to be right on him, so you had to put the ball in a tight window and have Fitz catch it. The other thing is the speed. I mean, if you want to clear, if you're lining a guy up left and you want him to clear to the other side, that takes time. Fitz didn't have the speed. Rondell does. So, you know, the play's going to happen a lot quicker with Rondell running some of those plays. Now, Rondell's smaller, so Fitz is a bigger target. You could put the ball up there. If you misthrow it a little bit, Fitz could still come down with it. With Rondell Moore, you don't have that luxury because he's a lot smaller than Fitz. So, you know, you've got to make sure you throw an accurate ball.
And as we pointed out, and Schrager pointed this out too, when we talked about this Monday, in that Cowboys game, I mean, it certainly wasn't vanilla. It wasn't the entire playbook.
It was creative.
But it wasn't vanilla what Cliff was doing with Rondell Moore. He was starting to show some of the ways that he could use Rondell Moore. And I got to admit, it's very intriguing when you see a player of that very specific skill set being asked to do what he's going to do in that offense. It makes you think that maybe everything you've heard about the kid, everything you've been saying about the kid, everything Peter Schrager is now saying about the kid, that maybe he will live up to all of that right out of the chute. It'd be impressive if he could. Maybe he can live up to all of that.
Listen, this whole draft class is off to a really good start. This whole draft class, I mean, this might be Kime's best draft class when all is said and done. But this pick of Rondell Moore might be one that, you know, when you start to say, oh, best draft picks, you know, in the Steve Kime era, this has a chance to be one of them. I really believe that.
Well, we will see. A long, long, long way to go before we can say anything about that definitive about this draft class or Rondell Moore. But obviously, the love is starting to be felt nationwide when it comes to Rondell Moore. And when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, many believe this season is make it or break it for Cliff Kingsbury with the Cardinals. Could Cliff's new coaching style help everything click in year 3? New style, you say? We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.